better.
Weapons that of advanced nature, probably missiles, have been moved from Iran into Syria with intentions of moving them to Hezbollah. We need to have a game-changing action, and that is no American boots on the ground, establish a safe zone, and to protect it and to supply weapons to the right people.
I think the fact that they were able to go in there shows that perhaps the Russian-supplied air defense systems are not as good as were said.
All right, we might be giving guns to the Syrian rebels. How you feel about that, America? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. We're back in the salt mines again. A lot to talk about. Immigration up in the air, some serious hurdles in the Senate, very uncertain in the House. Who can answer the question, how do we make our border safe? Tell us that first. We've been hearing about it now for decades. Syria. The House Intelligence Committee chairman says the U.S. has to choose from a menu of very poor options in coming up with a response to what is happening there. 70,000 people, give or take, have been killed by the notorious now Assad, whose regime is just annihilating the population. Some believe with chemical weapons. We're trying to really get hardcore evidence on that, although we say we do have some. So Mike Rogers, who's that chairman, Republican from Michigan, says that the conditions in Syria were deteriorating by the day, no doubt. Says it's the worst he's seen in a long time, but the options are not good either. So you've got these foreign fighters that include some backed by enemy states or terror groups pouring into the borders of Syria, trying to push their own influence and get the chemical weapons. Imagine that. So what option is the best option for the United States? Everybody has an opinion on it. You just heard Senator John McCain and Patrick Leahy as well. The senator from Vermont throwing in their two cents on what has to happen. They were part of the Sunday Palooza, or the political talking heads. Senator, or Congressman rather, Dutch Ruppersberger from Maryland, who is the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee, agrees that these options are lousy, but that the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, would go down eventually, and great uncertainty and risk is going to follow. But he defended the president's cautious approach, saying the White House was working deliberately and with an eye to the complexities of increased intervention. Doesn't that sound like a talking point? I mean, listen, all of Washington is one big talking point, but I'm going to say that sentence again. The White House is working both deliberately and with an eye to the complexities of increased intervention. I mean, look, the bottom line is the guy is slaughtering people. There is concern over chemical weapons, and there's a concern over who is going to jump in and try to grab those weapons. And because of what's happened in the past, you really have to have it all tied down when it comes to chemical weapons. The president said heading into the weekend it was unfair to say that just because the United States wasn't sending guns, arms to the Syrian rebels, that the administration was standing by. He said, we're not waiting. We are working to apply every pressure point that we can on Syria. He also assured he didn't see any situation where we would deploy boots on the ground, not rushed into making a decision. So we're not sending troops that we can foresee anyway. But what is the aggressive approach? What's the right thing to do here when the rebels, we don't, the good guys from the bad guys to who's back who, we don't know. Do we just take the risk and give the guns up anyway? Or more than guns, weapons, other weapons, bombs, etc. That's when it's arms, it's more than that, certainly. And in fact, it's probably more of the missile variety, actually. So do we stay on the fence? Are we trying to do something here to prevent Al-Qaeda from rushing in to fill that space that now has been created. This has a very good chance to be a huge blunder and disaster. What is the right play for this country? What is the right thing to do? What's the right thing to do here? Speaking of Syria, it's not the only thing that we're tangling with in the Middle East. There are certainly some other things of heavy concern. Afghanistan, always on the minds of us. Remember, 2014 is the great American pullout in that country, but we keep seeing every time we turn our back, there's more violence, there's more problems, there's senseless attacks, and it makes you wonder, what do you think happens when we leave Afghanistan? Especially now, the Taliban is kind of ratcheting up their own rhetoric, maybe a little subtly, but they're doing it. And they're cutting deals with the people. How sad is that when you think of the lives that have been lost, the blood that has been spilled on that soil over there to try to make some kind of a dent, some kind of a difference. Rich sent me this note in our mailbag, and he said, if we really wanted to wrap up what was happening in Afghanistan, we would have gone after the poppy fields, but no, we left them because it is the commerce there in the way, and we knew that, so we stepped around that. We skirted it because all of the money is lying in those fields, and by the way, in the minerals that are in the ground as well. Yeah, we're not going to be there to pick up those minerals, rest assured on that one. Very doubtful that we'll be there for that. If we're talking about war reparations, I don't think so. One thing here I wanted to say at the top, because don't all of us like a little caffeine in our life? You know, they're calling, federal regulators are saying that they're troubled by processes that add caffeine to food products. It's a big trend, and there's not much oversight on this. The FDA, the Commissioner for Food and Veterinary Medicine, Michael Taylor, called caffeine additives in snacks from jelly beans to waffles to energy drinks very disturbing to us. What does that mean, very disturbing to us? They got to just cut through the rhetoric and tell us what's going to happen. He's saying that the caffeine could have ill effects on the public and children's health. Vague doesn't work anymore. So what does that mean? How much caffeine are we talking about? And, you know, they talk about millions of us consuming caffeine responsibly and in moderation. But what about the others? I think a lot of this has to do with those drinks. But they're trying to work on it, saying this is the new frontier, rather. And they advise that 600 milligrams of the drug, the equivalent of 4 to 7 cups of coffee, could be too much for adults. And that's the problem. Talking about things that are being developed and how there's this alert energy caffeine gum and how that could be dangerous. It gets you jittery and heightened blood pressure and all of that. If you're getting jittery over too much caffeine, it is time to put the caffeine down. Absolutely. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. May 3rd, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $14.7690. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $15.1460, $753.30 for a half ounce, or $378.65 for a quarter ounce. That's $15.1460, $757.30, and $378.65.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
$175 million plus. It is crushing at the box office. $680 million. You think they're going to make another one? If they're making Fast and Furious 6, I'm just betting that they're going to try to convince them to make a 4. I have to say, I saw it. I thought it was good. I like the good versus evil, the Iron Man deal. So if I'm giving you my cheap movie review, you like the thrills, you like the get the bad guy kind of movie, and it's not too hokey, and there's funny lines, and, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is just great in this role. I think that makes a difference. I would say I'd give it a 9 out of 10, that you, this is the movie for you, and go and check it out, or wait till it comes out on CD, and it's perfect, or CD, wait till it streams. Everything streams now. Just wait till it streams and you can see it there. But it'd be worth it. You wouldn't fall asleep on the couch. Trust me, it's good. I think there's some excellent moments in Iron Man 3. Don't forget, too, we do our cheap movie review Friday mornings and our DVDs as well our man from down under gives us the scoop on the DVDs, and we'll tell you about the movies. All right, this is another big thing that's looming on the Hill, one that will affect you and one that will affect me if you get anything on the Internet. Everybody I know gets things on the Internet. In fact, very few people I know shop. They don't go to the mall. They don't go to stores when they don't have to. Well, the Senate is expected to vote on Internet sales, that tax law, and that will happen on Monday. That means millions of consumers will start having to pay sales tax on online stuff. You know, that was one of the things that people liked. They didn't have to pay sales tax. Everywhere it's different, but, you know, where I live, it seems like it's a gazillion dollars. Well, the item is only whatever, and then it's like 8% sales tax and change. There are other places, of course, where it's much lower, and that's why another clever thing that happens is the tax-free holiday weekends. They do them, I think, almost any state now, where it's like before school starts and all that stuff, and people run out and grab a whole bunch of stuff because no sales tax. Well, anyway, that doesn't have anything to do with this, but the legislation would allow 45 states that charge sales tax to require any large online retailers to collect tax on purchases made by the people that are on them, you know, the residents, the people that are on it. So they would only apply to online sellers that have sales of at least 1 million in states where they don't have physical operations, like a store or a warehouse. And, you know, there's some obvious people that we know that would be affected by this, and it's the places where most of us shop. Because right now, only sellers are required to collect tax in states where they have a physical presence. Otherwise, they can shop online. They don't pay a sales tax and at the time of when they buy it, but they're supposed to pay the tax to their home state, right? I want people to write and tell me how much tax they've paid when they've bought things online. You know, 1% of buyers do it, they say, comply with the laws, and duh, unenforced. How are you enforcing that law? What, you go to everyone's house? Let me see what you've purchased. Let me see those online purchases. Close to 30% of online shoppers surveyed by a thing called Alex Partners, a firm, said recently they would shop more at brick-and-mortar retailers if the tax became a reality. Nearly half said that an Internet sales tax would have no effect on their online shopping. That's pretty big. And this was a survey of about 2,500 consumers. You see, a lot of online people oppose the legislation, the people who are the retailers, because they say the sales tax would hurt business and create a nightmare because they would have to determine tax rates for different states at checkout, which is true. They would have to do it. eBay opposes this tax big time. They're lobbying for a broader exemption for small businesses. And they say, look, the solution is easy. If Congress passes online sales tax legislation, small businesses with less than 50 employees or less than $10 million in an annual out-of-state sale should be exempt from the burden of collecting sales tax nationwide. So I would say that's fair. I completely believe that. I mean, look, it's another tax increase. It's any way they can tax us. That's why it's so, to me, it's so shocking that they oppose online gambling. We have all these offshore facilities. And they say, oh, it's corrupting brains, and people are staying up late playing poker in dorm rooms. I mean, are you kidding? There's so many other things they can do. How about personal responsibility? You want to talk about raising money. If they had online gaming and they taxed that here in the United States, the floodgates would open. The floodgates would open. But in this case, with the shipping costs, so think about this. Shipping costs that for selling on the Internet, and then what do the shipping costs do? Well, that boosts the revenue for who? The people who are delivering the stuff, like UPS, the United States Post Office. My goodness, they're drowning in debt. They're drowning in the wrong kind of ink. FedEx and a bunch of other companies. And guess what happens when they get more revenues? They have more people. They hire more people. So tax on the Internet sales, discouraging people to shop online. kind of hurts other people across the board, especially if they say, well, you know what, then forget it. If it's, I'll just go to the store. I'll just go to the store. So once again, who does the sales tax hurt? Everybody in Washington, what do the Democrats and the Republicans have in common? They all say that they are trying to protect the middle class, trying to do this for the middle class, trying to do that for the middle class. Well, a sales tax hurts the middle class. Who are the people, the majority of the people, getting so much of the online stuff? Not the people with serious bucks don't do it, but how many middle class people are running around, you know, juggling jobs and just ordering things online, lack of time or whatever, for whatever reason it is. So collecting sales tax, and then what about the small businesses? Man, keep it simple, stupid. Can we not do anything simple? Why is it always so convoluted? I was talking to a lawyer last week, and we were talking about taxes, and the lawyer said, oh, no, even we, and this was a brilliant lawyer, even we have to sit here and try to pull apart the tax code. He had me convinced that it was a mess and it was a nightmare and nobody wants to deal with it, and simple is better. So why do we keep complicating the thing? I mean, listen, I'm for a fair tax or a flat tax anyway, but why do we keep doing that to ourselves, making it more complicated and harder for anyone to understand if they're in violation or not? Oh, and good luck on trying to figure that out. So, once again, we have an internet battle of a different sort on our hands. I don't see why this one can't let this one slide, especially in the smaller businesses. The smaller businesses, I don't think you want to discourage that. I'll be curious to see the statistics if it gets voted into a law as to how many people actually do say, well, you know what, if this is something I can get down the street, then I'm just going to go back to the old way I used to do it. I'm just going to pick up the stuff that I can just pick up on my own and not, I'm not going to pay all that extra. I'm not going to do it because the sales tax saves me. And then if I have a shipping fee, that's okay because I don't have the sales tax. And some people really do justify it that way. So it will actually make a huge difference with some people who are shopping a lot on the internet and having a lot of things that are delivered. All right, weekly re-rack, Sweet Caroline. That song really still being played in ballparks and other places, trying to keep awareness alive for the people who are looking for some help in Boston as their new amputees and learning to live a different kind of life. Over $35 million now, I heard, was raised by one charity. Stay with us.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
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 Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia,
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show.
Presented in part by GCN.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing Mother's Day special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Plus, order today and you're automatically entered for a chance to win an amazing trip for mom. 3 lucky grand prize winners and a guest will be whisked away to your choice of Paris, Napa, or St. Thomas. Just go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5454. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. 100 colorful blooms for mom, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days, plus a free vase for only $19.99. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday, and if you order this week, you're entered for a chance to win a trip for mom to an incredible destination. The only way to get this amazing deal and be entered to win the trip of a lifetime is to go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5454.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or over. Restrictions apply. See rules of website for details.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Try to pretend nothing happened. You want it that way. Try keeping it cool. That's love getting to you.
All right, what a treat. You're going to really love our next guest here on America Tonight. Her name's Elizabeth Tryon. You might have heard of her. She's a musician. Her first pop single, are you ready for this? Fire Inside. She wrote and performed. She broke the top 10 on one of the national radio charts. The song won several Fan Choice Awards, which is always big. You want the fans to love you, right? And she's got an original song, You're Still Mine, which was chosen to be the soundtrack for a tribute in a video to honor the U.S. Armed Forces, which, of course, you know how we feel about the Armed Forces, and I'm sure she does, too, as well. She's also been on PBS. She was on a show there. She was featured on a show called That's Classic. And then she's got a slew of other things, but it would take an entire hour, and I'm sure she doesn't have that much time. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on.
All right. We wanted to talk to you because besides being a singer, you're also a music historian. You know a lot about music. And we've seen what's now happened in light of the bombings at the Boston Marathon. What's been really wild is Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline, which took off at the Red Sox game, now is being played all over the place. It's being played in other ballparks, but it's also being played at other events. What? Tell us what you think about that. You know, how music can inspire people, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's so true, and I think it says so much about Neil Diamond too. That I mean, he wrote that song in the '60s, and it's still just as relevant today. But yeah, it's so true that I think music is probably the most, you know, healing force, one of the most healing forces in the world. And I actually heard from somebody who, she had a couple of friends who were seriously injured in the Boston bombings, and she brought Sweet Caroline to her art class, like, just a couple of nights after the bombings, and played it. And everybody in the whole school, I guess it was like a, it was a school, everybody just started, like, on all the floors and stuff, you know, they all just started coming out in the hall and, like, spontaneously just started singing along with it and, like, holding hands and everything. I mean, how unbelievable is that? It's a totally spontaneous thing that just drew people together, and she said everybody was crying, and it was just, you know, such a powerful moment. So I think that it's a song about unity in a lot of ways, and certainly that's what is happening after Boston. You know, everybody's pulling together.
Yeah, I love that. And plus, there's a thing, too, where Neil Diamond is donating all the royalties to the Boston Bombing Charity. That's huge. Imagine, and people are running out and getting it, downloading it, all that kind of stuff. So the I don't know what the total is now, but I heard it's pretty high.
Yeah, I can you believe it? I know. He donates his royalties to the survivors of the Boston bombings. I mean, how amazing. What an amazing person. And you know, it's also amazing that Neil Diamond, I mean, he's been writing hit songs for so many years, and he actually got his start even not even writing for himself, actually writing for groups like the Monkees and stuff. He actually, like, he wrote, like, major big hits for them, and Elvis and things. And so, I mean, it's hard enough to write, you know, hit songs for yourself, and then he wrote, like, a bunch for others, and his hit songs to spare, basically. So, I, you know, he's just a remarkable person.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And you know, talking about this song, isn't it wild when you have a song? I mean, do you find that it's pretty rare for a song to both inspire hope, as I asked you in the beginning, for some people, and then actually provoke shame in others because they won't play it at Penn State. They won't play it in any of their athletic competitions.
Right,
it's
right,
completely
right.
Banned.
I know, it's terrible.
Strange.
I mean, my mom's a Penn State alumna, and I think, you know, that was really a decision that the administration made, and it definitely wasn't coming from the fans, because, you know, I think the Penn State community as a whole, like, they love the song because they used to play it, you know, all the time at Penn State. So it definitely was just something that, like, some administrator made that decision, and talk about a foolish decision. I mean, because no one was asking for it, you know, no one was pressuring them. So it was a really bad idea.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I know a guy I went to college with actually worked in Altoona, which is near Penn State. And he was telling me something interesting. He's saying, and this, of course, is all over the place, that it was about the lyrics, hands touching hands and reaching out and touching me, touching you, which, of course, is a sweet line in the song. And unfortunately, because of Jerry Sandusky, and even though the university is denying it, that it's not based on the lyrics, I have a feeling that, I don't know, I think there's just something to that.
I'm sure that that's why. I mean, I'm sure, because, like, you know, you get somebody who's worried that it's, because, like, Neil Diamond wrote that song, he was inspired by Caroline Kennedy, and he got a picture of her when she was a kid. Of course, he was also, you know, much, much younger at the time, because this was back in the 60s when he saw this. So he wrote the song about her. So they're saying because the song was inspired by a child, and it talks about hands touching hands, reaching out and everything, that they didn't want to call attention to Jerry Sandusky, that's probably why, almost certainly, you know, why they did it. And it's just so stupid because nobody was even thinking about that, you know?
Right. Right. They made it. They made it so, exactly. It is crazy.
Yeah, they made everybody think about it. It's like, no, we don't want to think about it. No one was even thinking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned this, besides singing, the fact that you have such a handle on history, when you think of other songs that fill certain times, and we've seen this before, what happened in New York. I was in New York and I was working there, and the New York is always played after the Yankee games, but everybody was singing it, everybody was playing it. I mean, it was everywhere in New York, and it was outside of New York too. I guess what famous songs do you think are good fits for when you have something sad and something happy going on?
Well, I you know, it's so true what you say about songs being something that just pulls people together, and there's just no words, you know, it's so much better than words is music. I think Bridge Over Troubled Water, that's kind of a one that just sticks out to me as being a very uplifting, you know, and it starts out so sad, and then by the end of the song, it's so joyful. So I think that gives hope to a lot of people, you know, that can be down and out, but you don't have to stay that way. And I think Enya also, you know, a lot of her songs, I just think they're just so beautiful, and they're just kind of like lullabies or something. So I think there's something very powerful in any of music, and, you know, certainly like, there's just like, there's so many. It's just incredible. I mean, like, I Will Survive, that's definitely a, I guess like a lot of people will say, you know, Eye of the Tiger, of course, like they listen to it in rehab and stuff like that. And that's gotta be inspirational to write a song that people listen to while they're rehabbing, and they say stuff, you know, well, it helped me to, you know, when I was gonna quit rehab and stuff, like it helped me to carry on. So, I mean, that's really why I wanted to be a songwriter, was the idea that people would be inspired, you know, by what I wrote. I think that's just powerful.
So it's interesting. You're doing a show in New York that, what I understand, is kind of pop, classic, jazz, and rap. All in one. Wow, you're a master of many talents if you're doing that, right?
So, I actually started out as a classical singer. I'm actually trained as an opera singer. So that's, and then my classical background really inspired, like it helped to inspire me to write pop songs. Because a lot of pop songwriters, you know, used to be classical performers, like Billy Joel, you know, obviously Elton John. You know, a lot of those people had classical roots. So it's kind of, it's fairly common for that to happen. So, basically I in my show, I have a lot of pop songs, but I also have some classical music, that's just, you know, it's just like basically a fun show. It was co-written by, Jeffrey Gurian, who writes for Comedy Central. So it's just like a really, really, you know, we take the music seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. So it's just like a really fun show. It combines pop and classical music. And then we even have a rap. We actually have a rap to the classical song Green Sleeves, you know, like traditional, very classical song.
Yeah.
We speed it up and speed it up, and then eventually it turns into a rap. So we have a wonderful rapper. He wrote like an original rap to it. So it's kind of like his words are inspired by Greensleeves, because, you know, Greensleeves is very, very traditional. You know, it was written in the Middle Ages, literally. So it's like very traditional, you know, alas, my love, and thy hands, and thy petticoat. So he wrote a modern rap, like modern lyrics to that song. So it's just really cool. It's like this blending of the old and the modern day.
How cool is that? I'm still stuck on you were doing opera, and now all of a sudden you've gone in a complete opposite direction. How did you? What made you ditch opera? Why'd you ditch opera in New York? The Met, you know, Renee Fleming, because you had a passion for other kinds of music too.
Exactly. Yeah, because I still do opera. I mean, I still do gigs as an opera singer. But my real passion, like my main passion, was writing music and also performing for people that don't necessarily ever listen to classical music and are much more of a pop audience. I love the idea of sort of, you know, doing a lot of pop music and then adding in some classical and kind of surprising people with it. I got the opportunity to sing, you know that song, The Lion Sleeps Tonight? That's
yeah.
In The Lion King. And
sure.
You know, it's very, Weemawe, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. It's a doo-wop song, and it's 50 years old. And there's actually an opera part in it, which most people don't remember, but there really is an opera part in it. And I was fortunate enough to sing the opera part of that song with the original group who recorded the song 50 years ago in Manhattan just recently. And that was just such a thrill. It was actually in Brooklyn we did it.
Wow.
And it was such a thrill, because I always, always wanted to perform that song, because I thought it was so cool that there's opera in the middle of a famous pop song. And I never imagined I would ever get to perform it with the original group. I mean, that was just like such a dream come true. And they sound exactly like they did on the recording. Wow, like after all these years, they sound fantastic.
How cool is that? Elizabeth Price.
It was so fun. And they were all mic'd, and I was the only one not mic'd. And they were like, well, if we don't like what you do, we can always cut your mic. And I'm like, no, you can't, because I don't have a mic. I'm singing opera here.
I love that story. Elizabeth Tryon, continued success. Check her out at ElizabethTryon.com. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Move Over Organic, the Pureganic companion ebook and cookbook, sets a new standard for purity in our diet with a 100% toxin-free lifestyle. It's time for an American renaissance in health and quality of life. This book is loaded with simple methods to holistically eliminate disease, original recipes, a 30-day diet plan, and much more. Purchase now at PureGanicCompanion.com. The Pureganic Companion, the preventative maintenance manual for the human body.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
I dare you, class of 2013, to do better. I dare you to dream bigger. And from what I've seen of your generation, I'm confident that you will. This is a joyous occasion, so let me put it charitably. I think it's fair to say our democracy isn't working as well as we know it can. Class of 2013, only you can ultimately break that cycle. Only you can make sure the democracy you inherit is as good as we know it can be. But it requires your dedicated and informed and engaged citizenship. The point is, if you are living your life to the fullest, you will fail. You will stumble. You will screw up. You will fall down. But it will make you stronger. And you'll get it right the next time.
The president trying to influence young graduating minds from Ohio State. That was the commencement speech. Thousands of people tried to listen. Tens of thousands of spectators swarmed Ohio State on Sunday to see what he had to say in his first commencement address of 2013, 1 year to the day after he kicked off the reelection campaign with a rally on the same campus. You know, they had about 70,000 parents and friends that went through these incredibly long security lines and piled into Ohio Stadium to be at the ceremony. So how about that? And you heard some of what the president had to say there. He talked about a few other things, too, the Boston Marathon bombings, the Texas fertilizer explosions, and all of that. And then he talked about that's what citizenship is, and quoted a line from President George W. Bush's address to OSU seniors in 2002 saying, America needs more than taxpayers, spectators, and occasional voters. America needs full-time citizens. Boy, isn't that true. How about citizens who aren't afraid to call their congressmen and their senators and try to get them off their rears and come up with some of the solutions that we need? Because they're our representation. It's we the people, but we aren't voting on the laws like immigration that's close to 900 pages, and now hundreds of amendments are being stuck in it. By the time it's done, it's not even going to look the same anymore. And we're talking about the Senate, of course, reconciling, and then the House with their own version. Interesting times, to say the least. All right, so many of you have opinions here. It's not just Kate Delaney, America Tonight. It's all of you. That's what the show is about. I don't care if you're left of left, right of right. And I always say that. And this is a great audience. You always surprise me with the amount of email that I get. So thoughtful. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Okay, this one comes to us from Carl, listening to us in Vermont. Carl says, Kate, wow, how about this whole thing over the Boston bomb suspect's burial rights and what's going on there? At first, I can say I don't blame people for protesting, but then on the other hand, I don't think you can say anything to the funeral guy. And I don't know why they would rain down any kind of terror on him or his family, meaning be really hassling the guy who is stuck with the body. Well, you know what? It's interesting. There is an update on that. Ruslan Tsarnaev is the uncle of Tamerlan Tsarnaev, and he met with the funeral home director to try to get his, you know, he wants to arrange the rites and get the body and whatnot. So they plan to wash and perform the Muslim burial rites on the 26-year-old's body. And the question is then, where can they bury him? Because already he's been refused in so many graveyards, they won't take him. He's lived in Cambridge for 10 years, and nobody wants to take the body. And the funeral home director says he's gotten so many calls from people criticizing him and calling him un-American for being willing to handle the Tsarnaev funeral. And he says, you know, we take an oath. Can I pick and choose? Can I separate the sins from the sinners? We're burying a body. That's what we do. You know, that would be a tough situation to be in, because would you want this guy there? And the answer is no. And can you refuse people? He's saying he takes an oath and he can't do it. There's signs, there's protesters screaming, don't bury him on U.S. soil and all this kind of stuff. He can't find a cemetery in Massachusetts willing to take the body. Cannot find a cemetery. But has had offers to provide a grave and to contribute money toward the funeral expenses from people in other states. How about that? He's going to ask the city of Cambridge where Tsarnaev lived to provide a burial plot. If Cambridge turns him down, he's going to look for help from other state people to figure out what to do. The uncle is anxious to bury the nephew. They just want to get it over with. They want to get him buried. And nobody will take the body. Nobody will take the body. And I have a feeling if they do find a place to take it, probably there's a good chance that burial plot could be torn up. All right, let's move to another one quickly here. This one from Adam in Texas. Adam says, hi, Kate. I don't know if you're aware of this. I know you have friends in California, but you talk about Mother Nature and you talk about some sad things that happen as a result. Boy, I was looking at the internet the other day before I was leaving in the morning, and I happened to see an incredible photo of a man on his rooftop literally watching a wall of fire head toward his house. Yeah, it's scary what's happened in it's just thousands of acres and brush and hundreds of homes along the Pacific Coast Highway in Ventura County, Camarillo, California has been awful. That whole Ventura area just ravaging the coast. The good news is the weather is changing, so they're getting cooler temperatures, and that's helping to douse the flames. But there are firefighters in from all over the place, and it is sadly a familiar sight in California. I lived in the central coast of California for a short while, and I saw that twice when I was there. And it was in that area, too. It was in Santa Barbara, actually, where I saw it, and I couldn't believe how quickly things caught on. The Santa Ana winds, no water. It was awful. So this cool, moist air that came in on Sunday should help those firefighters. They can keep with those containment lines around this unbelievable wildfire. I mean, it is. The pictures are eerie. That's the best way to describe it. I mean, the pictures are incredibly eerie. This one from Kyle in Texas as well. And Kyle says, I know that I happened to see this over the weekend, but I can't believe that they're not citing the limo driver for that accident in California. I just can't believe it. Can you imagine being the fiancé of the bride who was killed simply by going to a bachelorette party? What do you think will ultimately happen here? Well, I can't believe he wasn't charged if they don't have anything to link him to it, because they don't know what it is. And for those who don't know the backstory on this, there was a limo that was going over a bridge in San Francisco. It burst into flames. Five people were trapped inside. Four escaped. The driver escaped. The limo had nine altogether. It caught on fire. Couldn't get them out. The thing was exploding. All of the people, all the girls were in their 30s, early 30s. And so they had to contact all those families on Saturday night, because it happened around 10 o'clock at night. Smoke just started pouring out of the rear of the limo. The driver pulled over. It became engulfed in flames, and that was it. So they don't know what the cause is. They said they have no idea. Two escaped, were taken to the hospital. Two others to another hospital center. Four were being treated for smoke inhalation and some burns. They had to close off the bridge, and people were watching this on the bridge and couldn't believe what they were seeing. All right, our last one from our pal Jake in Austin. Jake says, wow, what a stupid idiot. Sadly, the 17-year-old who punched the referee dies. Think he'll be charged with anything? I don't know, because there's probably a chance of that. Police are accusing him, the 17-year-old, in this rec league of punching the ref because he was called for a foul and he got a yellow card. And this is a 46-year-old soccer referee punched by a teenager during a game, slips into a coma and he dies. How sad is that? Ricardo Portilla, he was a referee for a long, long time, and I think his family is just shocked. An autopsy's planned. There is a good chance that they'll have some charges that will be filed since he's now died.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.